two winners, as well as a special thank to Professor Kikuchi and the Nuclear Fusion Editorial Board for this continuous effort in developing and promoting the excellence in our community. Thank you. Okay, so now we will start the summary session as such, and the first speaker is Carlos Hidalgo from European Union. And Carlos will summarize the work, the experimental work on confinement and also on plasma wall interaction. The microphone doesn't work.
Okay, now it's okay? Yes. So I will summarize in this session contributed papers in the area of experimental C, confinement, magnetic confinement, experimental D, plasma material interaction, and PPC, plasma overall performance control. I have organized this summary talk in six different blocks. First, core transport, edge transport, plasma wall, impurity particle transport, operational limits, and plasma performance and integration. In the area of core transport, we have seen a quite significant number of papers dealing with empirical actuators, means tools that we have in our hands to modify core transport, including heating, rotation, which is very efficient in existing devices, but will be limited in next step devices, magnetic topology, fueling. In the area of research activities towards basic understanding, we have seen a very significant number of papers in the area of flash gradient heating and transport, in the area of momentum transport and co-validation. Transport in high beta regimes as an echo for the fundamental unity and connectiveness in fusion plasmas. In my view, the reported work, both from the experimental and theoretical perspective, dealing with a weak confinement degradation with power, a high beta plasmas, due to a combined role of pedestal pressure, its physics, and pressure peaking in the core by collisionality and suprathermal pressure effects, is a very highly relevant result reported in this conference that, in my view, open new possibilities in the development of plasma scenarios in plasma burning regimes, where, in particular, the dynamics of fast particles will be very, very crucial. And I wanted to start this summary with this personal highlight in an important piece of experimental and theoretical physics. The area of transport and the relation between flux and gradients has been discussed in many different contributions. We have seen further evidence of no local transport and the role of turbulent spreading, meaning that the time scale for reduction in turbulence is much faster than the time scale to modify plasma profiles, and this has been reported in NSTX. Also, interestingly, experiments in the 8L2A tokamak has shown how no local effect, fast radial propagation of transport events, is strongly affected by the presence of MSD activity, possibly reflecting the role of cigar flows leaking to low order rationals. We have also seen dynamic method to study turbulence and turbulent transfer reported in LSD, showing different time scales and hysteresis in the flux gradient relation. Indeed, quantifying and understanding the level of profile stiffness in the plasma core, in particular in reactor-relevant condition, high beta, and regimes with fast particle effects will be very important. It's an outstanding issue, and I have seen very promising results during the meeting. transport and the connection between physics understanding and empirical actuators. This is very important because we want to provide a bridge between the empirical tools and the physics understanding. We have seen quite many contributions in this field, in particular dealing with ECR rate as a very efficient empirical actuator to control transport. We have seen, for instance, results in D3D tokamak, JT60U, pointed out how to control gradients and transport by ECR rates via the development of trap electron modes that has been directly investigated by using, in the case of D3D, Doppler reflectometry. Also pointed out in JT60U how when you apply ECR rates and you modify the electron temperature triggering TEM mode, you are also affecting the ion channel and density profiles, and eventually via the development of intrinsic rotation driven by ECR rates, also modifying core rotation, toroidal rotation. Actually, we talk about rotation. The area of momentum transfer has been discussed in many different contributions during the meeting. What are the driving of the so-called intrinsic rotation? Very important because, as I said before, in ITER, in fusion devices, the net momentum input will be very limited. So understanding the intrinsic torque is important, as well as the damping mechanisms. In the area of intrinsic torque, we have seen different contributions, some of them in the area of intrinsic torque linked to the pedestal and also intrinsic torque linked to the plasma core. In the plasma periphery, we have seen direct experimental evidence of the role of radially CRT crossing flows on residual stress. That means flows driven by turbulence via Reynolds stress. And these are the measurements reported in texture. But also we have seen during the conference the importance of neoclassical mechanisms in the far edge and the possibility of how ion orbit losses is a source as well as intrinsic rotation in the far edge with a very nice quantitative comparison between predictions from neoclassical mechanisms and experimental measurements in D3D. Very relevant as well is to explore the behavior of turbulence when we are approaching burning plasma's relevant parameters, at least from the perspective of rotation, means low momentum input, low rotation. And we have seen that, maybe not surprisingly, the turbulence is reacting and the level of turbulence increases significantly when we go from high rotation to low rotation, with a significant increment in the high frequency range, high wave numbers. The area of core intrinsic rotation is a very active area of both experimental and theoretical research. We have seen quite many contributions exploring how core toroidal rotation is affected when we go from the ITG to the TEM regime, or how toroidal rotation is affected when we jump from linear ohmic confinement to the saturated ohmic confinement regimes, the role of collisionality, the interplay between MBI and ECR rates, as well as pedestal torques. I think this is an area which is very crucial towards ITER. I don't think today we have the capability to make a quantitative prediction in ITER, but I would expect fascinating results in the coming years. Cold validation is a great challenge due to the existence of multiple plasma scales, both in time and space. And we have seen how the agreement between gyrokinetic simulations and experimental results is improving when we consider both ion as well as electron scales in the gyrokinetic simulations, and these predictions are getting closer and closer to experimental measurements. This is an example from Alcatraz mode. Also, we have seen detailed validation of different gyrokinetic codes, gene in particular, using advanced fluctuation diagnostics in different devices, Aztecs, Torres Supra, the meeting reported today, and quite remarkable similarity between predicted level of fluctuations and experimental measurements, in this case, an example from Aztecs. Of course, there are many levels for comparison between experimental results and theory. The level of fluctuations is the level number one. We have to go into more sophisticated level where phases, relations, crucial for predicting the transport are detailed compared. But also we have seen during the meeting new results, which are also a challenge for non-linear simulation. This is the case of the reported modification in temperature fluctuations, actually decreasing as edge triangularity goes from positive to negative results reported in the TCP device. No doubt that validated simulation would have tremendous implications in for predicting with confidence burning plasma scenario, and this is an area which is growing day by day with very promising results. In the area of edge transport and pedestal, again, we have a quite significant number of empirical actuators hitting, which is very crucial in the development of plasma scenarios. In particular, the issue of delayed power threshold has been discussed in many different contributions. Magnetic topology, an area where eventually we might have conflict in optimization criteria. We went to get rid of ELMS, but these techniques eventually are affecting confinement as discussed by different colleagues during the conference. In the area of towards basic understanding, we have seen many different contributions in the area of what is underlying physics that triggers the LH transition, including the dynamics of flows. And pressure gradients, the issue of pedestal stability and profiles, and L control, including also 3D effects. The scenario development and the LH power threshold has been a topic of great interest during the conference, just because based on the ITPA scaling laws for the LH power threshold, the H mode operation is expected to be marginal in hydrogen plasmas, but possible in helium plasmas in the ether non-active phase. But I should say, this is a warning, that very recent result from TCP reported in this conference show that the LH power threshold is 20% higher both in hydrogen and helium than deuterium, which is not fully consistent with expectation from the ITPA scaling law. So this is a warning about our capability to predict plasma scenarios in ITER H mode in the non-active phase. Also, we have seen the first experimental evidence of significant isotope effect in the reveal Philippines in the quasi-single helicity state. This is an area where the hole means the power threshold, is mirrored in the smallest part, which means the Larmor radius. We don't really understand why this is connected, but that's why I found very interesting the results reported by our colleagues from here, from St. Petersburg, in FT2 tokamaks, showing experimentally how the amplitude of GAMs in deuterium is significantly much higher than the amplitude in hydrogen, and also how the effective heat resistivity is significantly reduced in deuterium respect to hydrogen, pointed out the role of multi-scale physics to understand the isotope effect in agreement with previous results in texture. But we are dealing with a very complex area, and we have learned during this meeting in many different contributions that if we play with neutrals, and impurities, as well as magnetic configuration, we can significantly modify as well the LH power threshold. And impurities and neutrals are very important because they are essential ingredients in the development of plasma scenarios. Also, I found very interesting the idea of a stimulated LH transition reported by our colleagues from KSTART, trying to get into the AIDS mode by external perturbations in this paper using S and BI. I think this is particularly interesting because once we accept that we are marginal for the ALH transition in hydrogen plasmas in the eternodatic phase, a stimulated LH transition might help us to jump into the AIDS mode. The trigger of the LH transition has been discussed during the meeting. Actually, we have today two very interesting presentations in this topic, including experiments in tokamaks, HL2A, D3D experiments in accelerators, TJ2, Alcator C-mode. All of them are pointed out towards a synergetic role of toolant-driven flows, sonar flows, and pressure gradient-driven flows in the triggering and evolution of the LH transition. I think this is a very important area because we want to identify not only the key players for the LH transition, but also we want to understand whether it is possible to reduce the power threshold and make reliable predictions towards ITER non-active phase. Pedestal is crucial for global performance and power exhaust, so we have seen many interesting contributions in the meeting. Positive influence of triangularity on confinement has not been recovered in the TET ITER-like world due to collisionality, which is consistent with 16 billion ballooning expectations, so with agreement between theory and experimental results, but also there are experimental results, particularly when we have high neutral recycling, atomic physics appear, then pedestals are found to be stable, theoretically stable, in the standard pedestal model PD ballooning. But this means that we need additional physics to explain the onset of ELMS in these regimes. Also, we have seen that if we have impurities like nitrogen, it has a significant impact in the pedestal temperature. And today, we don't really understand why it happens. So I think this is a topic where we need to consider missing physics ingredients to be addressed to provide full predicted capability of the pedestal, where now neutrals and impurities are two important players for the scenario development. I also found very interesting the investigation and sorting of micro-tearing mode in the pedestal of mass using novel aerokinetics. I think this is a relevant experimental finding, although today we don't really understand whether these micro-tearing modes are crucial for understanding the pedestal dynamics. But also during the whole meeting, we have seen in presentations and in general discussion and questions, the question of keeping in mind alternative regimes, particularly for pedestal transport and stability and scenario development. And we have seen interesting experiments, our colleagues from East reporting long pulse AIDS mode operation with coherent modes, which based on gyro simulations is supposed to be DTM with remarkable results and without ELMS. Also in plasma regimes with quasi-coherent mode, the QH mode has been maintained as a very high densities, Ringwald fraction close to 0.8 in a strongly shaped plasmas with very high pedestal pressure, which is consistent with the prediction of the so-called super AIDS mode regime, which also looks very interesting as an alternative regime towards fusion reactors. The I mode has been presented by our colleagues from Alcator C-mode with very interesting results. The I mode, where the edge temperature pedestal is there, but the density profile remains in A mode, with confinement characteristics very close to the AIDS mode. What was very interesting to me was the empirical discovery that in ACATOR, running at high magnetic fields, you can expand very significantly the window to access into the AIDS mode, maybe explaining why devices running at low magnetic field, this window is very reduced. This is a pure experimental finding. As far as I know, we don't have any theoretical explanation, but make this mode very attractive for future devices, including ITER, and I would expect to see in the coming years a kind of theoretical explanation. L-control has been presented in many different presentations during the meeting. We have quite many number of tools to control ELM, magnetic perturbations, pellet injection, supersonic molecular beam injection, edge control, and results have been presented in many different devices all over the world. If we talk about power exhaust and 3D FETs and L control, I found remarkable that we can control ELM with a reduced number of coils, as reported by a range from D3D. Also, very interesting, the simulations of amplifications and screening of polar harmonics nearby the pedestal, very important to understand the behavior of plasma in the presence of 3D perturbations. Interestingly, we have seen a spontaneous bifurcation at the heat transport across the islands in the periphery, both in tokamaks and accelerators, with a spontaneous transition from nested to stochastic configurations in the case of tokamak, but not in the case of accelerators, which is just one way, one jump, suggesting the role of magnetic shear. So we have quite many tools, but today not yet complete understanding on how L suppression and control mechanisms are working, and this is a very crucial area for the safe operation of ITER. Plasma wall is a fundamental area for the whole community. It's one of the possible showstoppers in the fusion development, so we have seen contributions in the area of magnetic topology, with emphasis in the innovative configuration, the so-called snowflake. Also, quite many contributions exploring operation at high density and the physics and control of detachment. Liquid metals as an alternative plasma-facing component, operation and wall conditioning, erosion, deposition, retention, dust has been also discussed by many papers. Plasma wall operation in long pulse, the development and improvement of edge diagnostics as a very crucial ingredient to validate edge modeling, which is one of the open issues in this area of research, and also interesting contributions in the physics of the scrape of layer width. Innovative solutions, I think that in the area of snowflake, we have encouraging results from D3D and XTX, TCB, and just the first results in East Tokamak with activation of extra divertor legs. But in the case of TCB, no evidence of a scrape of layer broadening. And also in the case of TCP, enhanced transport in the private flux region, which today is not reproduced and predicted by simulations. In D3D, we have seen a reported enhancement of heat transport and heat redistribution among additional strike points, and is, as I said before, just starting operation. Power exhaust and liquid metal is one more alternative solution for plasma phasing component. We have seen contributions exploring lithium and the CPS capillarity pore system limiters in T11M. Also, we have seen ongoing experiments using CPS in FTU as well as in accelerator TG2. Actually, if we talk about lithium not as a plasma wall material, liquid metal, but just as a way to improve global confinement. I was very fascinated by the Portland line contribution by U3D pointed out that with lithium conditioning, they have get an H factor even above 2, which is quite remarkable. So today, as a very short comment, I will say that CPS is a promising solution with a need to find the best candidate material, maybe lithium or mixture lithium tin, that fits all the necessary properties that are required in a burning plasma experiment. Detachment is, this is a key element for either mission and integrated control. We have seen very relevant results for Nasdaq's upgrade tokamak with partially detached condition where they are reporting half of the value of the critical parameter B, as a parabolic over radius that is required for ITER. So I think it's moving clearly in the right direction. Of course, if we want to expand this scenario towards ITER, we will need to increase by a factor of 2 in a significant way the level of radiation. This is a very crucial area where we need to consider integrated tools, integrated scenarios. We have to be sure that our power exhaust scenario is not affecting the properties of core performance. We have to be sure that the power exhaust scenarios is consistent with other tools to modify magnetic topology to get rid of ELMS. And actually, during the conference, we have seen quite many contributors pointed out that 3D effects indeed are affecting the detachment. Boundary diagnostics, the development of boundary diagnostic and improvement is very crucial for further development of validated edge simulations. And this is a very crucial area. There are many observations that cannot be reproduced by simulations in the plasma periphery, particularly in the detached between divergent asymmetries or very crucial neutral model, which is missing. That's why I enjoy very much contribution where we see a development now with diagnostic capabilities. For instance, the 2D characterization of the electron temperature are very low temperatures below 1 UV, which is crucial for comparing simulations and code in the detachment phase, has been reported. Also, comparison between modeling and experimental results with RMPs, with experimental results supporting modeling predictions that the ion flow velocity within lobes that appear with RMPs differ from those flows in unperturbed scrape of layer, and this has been reported in MAST. So I think this is a very crucial area where we will need a strong synergy between diagnostic development and modeling tools. Soil transport and particle and produced sources has been also extremely active area. We have seen how fuel inventory is extremely reducing yet when we go from tungsten to carbon. Also, we have seen that melting tungsten with ELM heat loads does not affect in a dramatic way plasma performance. And also, I have seen a very interesting investigation of transfer in the farthest scrape of layer and the transition from ion seed connected scaling to resistive flow regime. Impurity transport is strongly connected with plasma wall issues. We have seen many actuators, core heating, MSD, sources, fueling, and real time control. And towards understanding, we try to improve our capability to characterize what is the optimal profile for achieving a high fusion gain without impurity accumulation. We have seen plenty of activity in how heating is affecting gradient and the role of neoclassical effects, the role of turbulent-driven flows, the presence of asymmetries, and how asymmetries are affecting the neoclassical transport as well as modeling. In the area of impurities and physics basis for avoiding impurity accumulation, I enjoy this presentation from Aziz Akray, characterizing in-out asymmetries in the pedestal consistent with divergency flows the latency free flows, and which that does lead to a significant deviation from the classical transport, and also a significant observation of the first observation of polyhedral asymmetries and flux surface asymmetries in stellarators predicted by the classical mechanisms. Edge impurity particle sources is an area which clearly shows the importance of apparently significant details, and we have seen in JET how playing a bit with the position of the strike point in the diverter has a tremendous impact in global performance. So details are important in our field. And because neutral probably is one of the key players to explain this sensitivity to the strike point, I also enjoy very much papers dealing with characterization of neutral dynamics using experimental measurements and modeling. Heating and MSD has been very effective to get rid of impurity accumulation. We have seen results in JET using MSD and ICRH to get rid of tungsten. Also, we have seen ECRH very efficient to remove carbon from the core in T10 tokamak. And this fascinating impurity hole in LSD, where we get rid of impurities. But today, this remains as a very attractive scenario without theoretical understanding. In the area of operational limits, we have a few contributions in the area of runaways control, real-time control for runaways in FTU, quite remarkable with possible application in ITER, or also in the density limit, we have seen how the edge magnetic topology is affecting the density limit and the possibility of using easier rates to overcome edge critical density. Also, we have seen reporting how the plasma shape is affecting the magnetic topology in TCP. Plasma performance and control, this has been also a very active area where fueling breakdown studies has been reported, control as well as plasma scenario development. In plasma control, it's good to see that now we have some tools which are fully operational, for instance, how to control real-time neoclassical TV modes with easier rates, and very good news. In plasma performance and integration, we have to keep in mind that in ITER, we need to put together many different ingredients, calibrated ion electron temperatures, low injected torque, low roll, low collisionality, L control, diverter compatibility. We have seen significant development of the QE quality scenario in ITER in different devices. In the case of ASDEX, operation with Q equal to 3, H factor 1, beta normalized 2, green factor 0.85. There are alternative scenarios under study, like exploring the Q3.6, but integration of L mitigation is not achieved, but no stationary behavior in nitrogen seeding. We have seen also quite many contributions from D3D, for instance, ITER light work condition, H factor close to 1, beta normalized 1.9, with low torque operation, which is a relevant operation for burning plasma, but challenge operation due to the onset of tearing mode and MSD activity. Also, we have seen scenarios in JET, integrated performance with nitrogen seeding and diverter compatibility with its factor 0.85, beta normalized 1.6, and getting rid of impurities with ICR rate and gas puffing. Also, we have seen that we can increase the H factor up to 1 with plasma current in the range of 2.5 megaamps and ongoing work to increase even more the current, but the operation is done with high momentum input, and also we need to consider the integration of air control techniques. Also, we have a remarkable development of stellarator scenarios, and we have seen how LSD has able to control two simultaneous transport barriers to expand the operational window with high temperature in the electrons and in the ions. So as a final remark, because I've seen I'm running a bit out of time, I will just say that I have seen great contributions in the development of ITER demo plasma scenarios and understanding physics, both in the two key pillars. One, which is the engineering approach, where we use control parameters to avoid possible showstoppers, but also the development of physics understanding, which is so crucial for predicting burning plasma with confidence. And I have seen with great pleasure how these two pillars are getting strongly connected during this conference. And last but not least, I have to say that I have to thank all my colleagues for stimulating discussions and supporting plenty of material during the week, as well from the IEA organization for preparing this summary. Thank you.
Thank you. It's our turn to thank you, Dr. Hidalgo. Thank you for this great work. I